Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I am really enjoying my experience with the revelation in this new edition, the revised edition, updated edition of Crazy Love. Francis Chan, I mean, is it not? I mean, what's happening, man?
This is one of those books. It's just like so often you read a book and you're just like, okay, flip. And it's just like you
knowledge,
read.
Knowledge.
Hey, exactly. You read to this one and it's just like, okay, let's throttle down here and let's just kind of sit on that. And it really blows you away because it's just like, I love Francis Chan's just so direct confrontation of just like, wait, we got to just sit back and how do we approach God? You can't begin anything until you let's evaluate who it is, the one that we're talking to. And it's just like before we get into anything, and that's such
just
a beautiful.
Don't pray. Just get a perspective first.
Exactly.
When you approach greatness, you know, you need to understand that he's great.
Yeah.
You know, and he's loving, he's kind, he's merciful, but he's also stern. And I mean, you know, can you imagine somebody walking up to you and just start running their mouth and they haven't even
they know you.
Like they know you. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a few of those.
Yeah. And it's like, we don't know each other. We don't know each other.
I don't know you.
Yeah, what's your name again?
I've heard about you, though.
But you think about it. You know, Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 7. He says, many people are going to come up to me and say, don't I know you? And he's going to say, I never knew you.
Yeah.
I mean, and these are people. These are people that have performed miracles, that they've had prophecy, that they've cast out demons. And they're going to be so surprised. This is what Jesus said this.
Yeah,
when they come up, they're going to just start talking, I guess, at the throne room or something of judgment. And he's going to say, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, you know, and I like how Francis, you know, says, just stop praying for a moment. Just, you know, just don't. Yeah. The pagans think because you babble a lot, you're going to be heard. But first, meet this God through his son.
Mm-hmm.
Understand who he is and what he's done. And, before you begin to talk,
Well, as I've been reading through this, it's just like I remember. This is just something that just God's been reminding me about: is that every child has that perspective of the principal's office. It's like you don't.
No, you don't have.
I never had that experience.
Okay, well,
tell
maybe
us about it.
What was
maybe,
it like?
Maybe not the principal's office, but the principal himself. It's just like if he comes in his room, everybody all of a sudden stops joking around. People sit up in their chairs. Because the principal just walked in.
Maybe my principal might be listening. Yes, I went once. Let's just move on.
But it's like that perspective of just understanding this, just like, student, yes, could you please come down to the principal's office? And it's just all of a sudden you're like, what did I do? What did I do?
Was that my name over the intercom system?
Because I wiped my prints off.
Could you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But you think about it, and it's just like you have that perspective, and it's just all of a sudden like, was the principal there? Did he see? And it's like, it's that understanding. It's just like you're reevaluating. Other than it's okay. So then take that perspective that how a child understands the authority of a principal. And then now coming back and just saying, he loves you. And it's just like, as a child understands the reverence of authority, it's just like, okay, you don't just approach the principal like you do the one sitting next to you at the next desk. But so often that's what religion causes us to do or gives us the
time to pray.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay.
God, it's me. I need my stuff, things, and, you know.
And
be myself, I.
What we were talking about before. and them too. And them too. But it's like what you're saying, stop praying and just let's reevaluate how we perceive God. And this is like one of those things I just had to stop. It says, many spirit-filled authors have exhausted the thesaurus in order to describe God with the glory that he deserves. His perfect holiness, by definition, assures that our words can't contain him. And isn't it a comfort to worship a God that we can't exaggerate?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm.
And what really blew me away is what God said to me was that your language contains me. The English, and it's just like we have a God that's so big
Restrains?
Yes.
Not
yes.
contains, but like, restrains?
I don't know how the words to use, but it's just like the word holy. Like you say holy, and it's just like...
Right.
That's just the words of how, you know, I think about the Bible talks about that God was pleased with the foolishness that was preached.
Right.
Because it's just like the words that we have in the world of all the different languages.
There's not enough. Yeah.
Exactly. It so falls short to the majesty and just the reverence that he deserves. That it's just like when you're in his presence, before you just start uttering words.
Right.
Take in his reverence. And it's just like, he's going to give you his words that he's worthy of. And it makes me think about, you know, when God was speaking to Moses. He's, you know, Moses is like, okay, wait. Okay, I know you're telling me these things. Who do I say told me this? Who do I say sent me? He says, tell them I am.
Right.
And he's just like, that's it?
Yeah, right.
That's what you're giving me? And it's like, that's how awesome he is. And it's just like getting that beginning perspective of, let me reevaluate the words.
Right.
And let me just look first.
Right. I remember when I'm new in the Lord and I had worked some shift work or something in law enforcement. I was at church that night and it was a Pentecostal charismatic gathering. So they were exerting lots of energy. I'm like, I am tired. I am tired. And we were praying around the altar, you know, and up front, and I finally just said, I'm going to have to sit down. I just got to sit down. I'm tired. You know, God's going to have to meet me down here. I'm tired. And when I sat down and quit all my works, all my babbling or whatever I thought I needed to do to talk to God, when I just sat in his presence just enveloped me and met me. And I began to understand it's not what I say, it's who he is. And then having that ebb and flow conversation with God that, you know, you just are, and you're not trying to get to him. He's everywhere at the same time. And he even dwells inside of you. Mm-hmm. You're wanting to be with him and spend time with him.
Yeah.
And many times it's just being, you remember those conversations, just be.
Yeah. You know, that's such a powerful revelation. You know, I remember the day we were getting a cup of coffee, and I wanted to do something for God. I was right. So hungry for this God that I had just encountered in my life. But it was like, I didn't know what to do because right. Like I was just brand new in the Lord. And I remember, you know, us sitting together and this, I guess like banister or railing was right next to us. And you're just drinking your coffee and you look over and you're like, is that sunflower there? I says, yeah. He says, What's it doing? Like, nothing. And you're like, just be the sunflower. And that wrecked my brain because
you were trying
like,
to think, oh, how do I be the sunflower?
Yeah.
How do I be the sunflower? Sunflower,
exactly.
Sunflower.
But you think about it, I still remember sitting in here and it's like, the sunflower does not go, I got to be the sunflower. I got to take in the height. I got to do,
right.
I got to do, I got to do. It's like, no.
I got to be pretty. I got to be pretty.
But you think about it, this is such a powerful revelation. Yes. I know it is for me, and I'm sure many of you are probably listening right now and be like, wow, that's pretty powerful.
Right.
I bought an oversized sunflower. It's literally about 3 feet tall, and it's...
I've seen that, so it's huge.
And it's in my office, and it sits right in front
of
my chair.
It never dies. I don't know. How did you do that? It's amazing.
It's a fake one.
Oh, it's a fake one.
But you think about it. This
fake sunflowers.
Okay, this is such a powerful revelation that I put it right in front of me every single day to remind myself that it's just like, listen, it's not about doing anything. That's why the word says that Jesus said, it's finished.
Yes.
He did it because he wants us to rest in him. And I think about the conversations that we have, it's just like when you're at work, God's at rest.
Right.
When you're at rest, God's at work.
Right.
And that's what makes me, it's so encouraging because I think about those abiding times and it's like you are so worn out just responding in obedience to the Lord. And it's just like when you just rest in him,
right.
That's when he comes and meets you the most powerfully.
Right, right. And you know, you know, when you're at rest, God's at work. That's not like you're in bed. It's the fact that you're not trusting in your own works.
Yes.
You're just being.
Yeah.
You're just being. Just talking about the love of God and just being. And it's, you know, God's called us to be human beings, not human doings. And You do a lot when you be, but it's God doing it through you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can rest at night. You can lay your head on the pillow at night, tired, but knowing that, you know, God did this. And I am obeying the Lord. I'm doing what he asked of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, if you love me, you'll obey me. Mm-hmm. And you think about that is what you're, what you could say it this way. If you love me, you'll trust my leadership in your life. Cause love always trusts,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could either say, you know, I got to obey this and obey that. You can say, you know, I just trust him. He knows what's best for me. So I can just be. And when I spend time abiding with God and reading his word that morning and just spending time with him and whatever he impresses on me to do or to say, I'll just trust his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can call that obedience or you can just call it gratitude. It's like, he created everything. He made everything. He's the one speaking to me about how this day, he knows what's going to happen that day. And he's going to encourage me and tell me what to do. And he's going to speak to me as I need him to speak to me during that day. He said, don't even worry about what to say. Even when you appear before, when they arrest you, I mean, think about that. When they arrest you, and you stand before these kings and these authorities, he said, don't even worry about what to say because the Spirit of my Father will speak through you. God's Spirit will speak through you. And it's just like that being, you can only, that only really happens when you relax. If not, your thoughts are getting in the way, your ideas getting in the way, your flesh is getting in the way. And some people just go with that thing and that's God. And it's like, eh. That's not God. You can feel the no love in that puppy.
And you think about, you know, even on that as far as trust, you know, when you have those moments of just like worry or anxiety, that's a big indicator. And it's just like, okay, who's really doing this? You know, have you, what began in the spirit, did you start moving in the flesh or start doing it in your works or your abilities or your understanding? It's just like, if you totally trust God in those moments that's bigger than yourself, then you know God's going to do it. And it's that encouragement. It's just like, listen, if you think that you're the one controlling it, ask God for to do more that's bigger than your understanding so you can't even attempt to try to understand it. And that's the greatest thing because you know God's going to do it.
It reminds me of a 13-year-old girl that Francis talks about in his book, Crazy Love, that she just had this vision to be a history maker and she wanted to do something for God. And to all of her classmates, she would always just, she wanted to get a Bible to every one of her classmates. She wanted to be able to just share the gospel with them and win them to the Lord. And youth pastors heard about this, and they all began to bring her Bibles and all. And she just wanted to be for God and just give her whole life, you know, for the Lord. And an accident happened, and it cost her her life. And her entire school came to her funeral.
Wow.
And they gave an altar call.
Oh.
And the entire crew at school stood up and gave their life to God. And all those Bibles she had in her garage that she wanted to hand to all of her classmates was handed out to all of her classmates.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Mm.
I mean, just think about that, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Understand this, when believers die in this life, when our bodies die, our spirit, we're instantly in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
So she was able to see that she made history. She was being for God. At 13 years old, mm-hmm. she did that. How many people, you know, what do people do for God in this lifetime? This is the only chance we have a chance to allow God to do what he does through us. And he says, you know, do your good works amongst men that they will see what you do and give God praise. But that doing comes from the empowerment of being. You know, God is, you're spending time with God. You're hiding his word in your heart. You are doing what his word, you know, says and what he impresses on you to do. You're talking to God and listening. That's called prayer. And in that encounter, you start seeing things just happen. Jesus said, apart from doing that, you can't even do anything anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the only way that you can actually, you know, bear fruit, and you're expected to bear, we're expected to bear fruit, is if you abide with him, you spend time with him. And so it's not about a whole bunch of doing, you know, and there's a segment you got to hear. Maybe it'll be related to this. It's called Hairdo. It's called Hairdo.
Oh.
You know, you got a whole bunch of people that they like to do all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just do. Mm-hmm. Like, what do? Oh, this is what I do. This is what you do? You got like a meeting, you come together. You know, I call it like a do-do meeting. It's like, you know, oh, I do this. They don't care about you. But they do, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have the kind of folks who are like hear people. And they just, man, they'll spend thousands of dollars, you know, getting tapes, downloads, buying books, doing all this kind of stuff just to hear it. And they're not going to do anything with it. But they will look at you after, you've shared with them something awesome, they heard something awesome, they go, man, did you hear that? That was so good. That was so good. I think I'm going to come back next week. I'm going to hear some more. I mean, this is it. For 20 years, I'm going to be the best hearer you ever heard. I'll shake my head up and down. Now, I'm not a doer, but I'm a hearer, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got the hoodoo going on. The hoodoo are the folks that think they are what they do. And these are the ones that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7. They're totally convinced because they can speak in the name and pray in the name of Jesus that things happen. I mean, miracles and healings and words of wisdom and knowledge and all these different things. And Jesus talks about it in Matthew 7. And they think they are what they do. And they'll talk about their gift all day long, but they'll never mention their fruit. And they'll even call their gift their fruit. But if their gift was their fruit, then Jesus wouldn't have said what he said in Matthew 7. Because he went through the whole list of what they did with the manifestations of the miracles and the power. But he says, but I don't know you. Away from me, you evildoers. Mm. So that's a hear-do. I mean, those are the, they think they are what they do. Hoodoo, like voodoo, you know, hoodoo.
Right.
And then finally you have the hear-dos. These are the ones that hear the word of God, and they just do it. They don't create new doctrine and create new words. They just hear what, it's what James chapter 1 tells us. James writes, he says, listen, if you'll hear the word of God and do it, you'll be blessed in all that you do. You'll be blessed in all that you do. But it's part of being with God and spending time in abiding in his word, that in that, all of a sudden, fruit begins to happen. And it's very important because Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. You have to bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, you'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's fruit? Well, fruit's not, you know, a manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Fruit is something that comes out of your life. But if you go to Revelation says, talking to the church, he says, I know your deeds.
Mm.
They're not good.
Mm.
Or they're good.
Mm-hmm.
So fruit is not like a banana. Fruit is your motives. Why you're doing what you're doing. Who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for your glory or God's glory? Did you conjure that up? Okay. With your hoodoo, or did you just spend time with God and God said, this is what I want you to do today. This is what I want you to say today. This is what's going on. And he gets all the glory for it because it wasn't your idea. When you do that, you're blessed in all you do. So I just want to encourage you today that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And understand this, it's not about doing, it's about being. And understand he is so awesome. You need to really be for a while to just kind of soak in his magnitude and understand. If you haven't yet got the book Crazy Love by Francis Chan, it's the revised and the updated version. I think it was published in 2013. You need to get it because it'll help give you perspective so that you won't have to go back and go, I don't know what that was for the last 5 years, but I apologize for it. Would you forgive me? From this point on, I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to be faithful and fruitful, and I'm not going to think about, I'm just going to do and don't care what God says. I'm not going to hear anything. No, don't preach to me. I'm not going to be one of the hoodoos going around thinking I am what I do. I'm not going to be a hear-hearer, but I'm going to be a hear-do. I'm going to spend time with God and do what he says. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com.
VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.